Visiting here today, we would like you to know that you're our honored guest, and we'd love to have you back any appointed time. If you would like to have a Bible study, we have individuals that would love to study the Bible with you. Please let one of us know. The last time that I spoke, which was about a year ago, I spoke on about examining yourself to see whether or not you're in the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself? That Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. And that was our theme. But do you know there's another step that goes along with it? And that is that we need to be willing to transform our minds. So if you have your Bibles, I hope you got them back at Romans chapter 12. We're going to begin here at verses 1 through 3. And the Word of God reads, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned us. We need to come to a realization that we have to be willing to renew our minds, to transform them, and strive to make them like Christ. Many a times, however, we get caught up in the world and seem to forget this. And that should never be the case. And did you notice it even helped us understand where we should be? It said that we should be making sure that we make the right judgment. Now, how are we going to do that? By putting ourselves in the right place. We got to come to realize that God has to be number one in our lives, others second, and ourselves last. And unless we're willing to do that, we cannot please God. Do we truly understand that? Do we not understand that's what the Apostle Paul was telling himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 when he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He knew that he was going to strive to live a life like Christ. And he knew that if other people looked at his life, they would see Christ living in him. And they knew that he could be able to be an example to them. Are we like that? When other people see our lives, do they see Christ living in us? Or do they see an individual of the world? I pray to God that they see Christ in us. You know, the Apostle Peter also had some words on this as well. If you have your Bibles, take them and turn them to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. And we're going to look at quite a few scriptures, but I want to indicate this. God's Word is what we need to go by. You see, it doesn't matter what I think, what I feel, what I believe, what matters is what God says. And it's that simple. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Now we can plainly see here that Peter was striving to teach us that we need to follow in the steps of Christ. How are we going to follow in the steps of Christ if we do not know how he walked on this earth? We cannot. And the only way that we can know how he walked on this earth is by simply going to his word and opening it up, writing it on our hearts, and living it in our lives. Let us never forget it. Now let's take our Bibles and turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look here at verses 1 through 15. And the Word of God reads, There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of life who raised Jesus from the death dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you, heirs with Christ. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, Father, Father. Now, after reading these verses here in Romans chapter 8, you and I can learn some valuable lessons, and I'd like to look at a few. Number one, those who live their life according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live their life according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. We have to get the right mindset. We must get the mind of Christ in our lives. We also need to come to realize that if we live in the flesh, we cannot please God. We have to change. We have to be different. We have to be unique. And this isn't just something we say. This is something that we show by our love, by our action. We also need to realize that if we do not have the Spirit in Christ in us, we cannot belong to Him. It's that simple. And we cannot be heirs with Him either. We need to realize that if we want to be an heir with Christ, we must have a mind of the Spirit. We also need to realize that if we want to be able to make a home in heaven, we must do what God says. And we must be willing to transform our minds to be like Christ. And if we're willing to do that, we're able to call Him Abba, Father. We're able to have a close relationship with God. Do you want to have a close relationship with God? I know I do, and I know in order for that to happen, I must be willing to change my mind. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's take them and turn them to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look here at verses, beginning in verse 17. And the Word of God reads, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the fertility of their minds. They are darkened in the understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous, and have given themselves up to sexuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God, and true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away all falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up, as fit the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrance offering and sacrifice to God. Now, after reading these verses here in Ephesians chapter 4, you and I can plainly see that we need to put off our old self. We need to put on a new self, and we need to be willing to transform our minds to be like Christ. Did you also notice that it said that we're not to give the devil opportunities? If we are a part of the world, we open up that door, and we allow the devil to come in. And do you not think that he's going to take advantage of us? Absolutely. And we need to make for sure that we close that door, and we do not allow the devil in our lives. And we can do that if we are willing to transform our minds and live a life for God. Another thing I would like to note here is that it said that we are to imitate God and walk in love. It also says that Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. You know, when you think of the word love, and you look at it today, one of the things that you might notice is that it is a passive verb. It's not an action verb. But when you read the Word of God, you can see time and time again that it is action. For example, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God proved it by allowing His Son to come down to this earth and go into the cross and dying for you and me. Jesus Christ proved His love by going to the cross, giving up His life for our sins so that we might live. Are we thankful for that? You know, in the young adult class, I've been emphasizing that we need to have an attitude of gratitude. And I have been mentioning this time and time again. We need to be so thankful for what God and Jesus have done for us that we want to live a life for God. We want to have Christ in our life. We want to please Him. And the only way that we can do that is by going to the Word, writing it on our hearts, and living it in our lives 24/7. Did you notice I said 24/7? It's not just 4 hours a week. It's not just Sunday morning going to Bible class. It's not just coming to services on Sunday night. It's not just coming to services on Wednesday night and going to Bible class. It's 24/7. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what time it is. We're to live a life like Christ. And other people should see Him in our lives. We should never forget it. Never forget it. Now, let's take our Bibles now and turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 1. And the Word of God reads, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is you, your life appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In this you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if we have a complaint against one another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, after reading these verses here, you and I can plainly see that we need to set our minds on things above, not on things on this earth. We have to be focused on God. We have to be focused on pleasing Him. It's not about pleasing ourselves. Even though many individuals on this earth want to please themselves, we have to be different. We have to be unique. We have to be like Christ. We also need to realize that we need to get things out of our lives, and that is sin. Now, you notice we went through a list here, and you're probably thinking in your mind, I don't have any of these in my life. Do I? Let's look at the word idolatry. You're probably thinking in your mind, I don't worship a piece of wood. I don't worship a piece of metal. Right? But what are other things that you put before God? Think about it. I want to name a few. Now, I want you to think about it. Now, the first three that I name, you're probably going to say, I don't have these in my life. I don't have anything to worry about. But just wait. Number one, drugs. There are many individuals that put drugs, number one, in their lives. And this includes prescription drugs. We need to make for sure that that does not happen. They do not need to rule our lives. Number two, alcohol. I have seen this time and time again, and I have seen it in my own family. And I have seen what it can do to a family. I have seen that it can cause a family to basically separate and not get along at all. And I have seen it basically destroy a family. So I want to emphasize that we need to make for sure that that is not number one in our lives. Number three, gambling. I had a friend that lived in Lofton, Oklahoma, and he passed away. But he got addicted to gambling. And do you not think that it tore up his family? Do you not think it actually tore him up and caused him to be separated from God? Absolutely. And it can do the same thing to us as well. Number four, here we go. Possessions. Do individuals put their house, their vehicle, their money number one in their lives? Or some other possession? Absolutely. Number five, our jobs. How many individuals put their jobs number one in their lives? And we see Christ lived out. And sometimes even their own family. And that's sad. Number six, our hobbies. Now, it's okay to have a hobby. But when a hobby comes number one in our life, there's a serious problem. Fishing, hunting, sports, shopping, whatever it may be. If we put that number one in our lives, then we're not putting God in His right place. Number seven, our children's hobbies. Uh-oh. I might have stepped on some toes, but that's okay. Let me emphasize to this. If our children's hobby take them away from the Lord, there's a problem. And I want to emphasize that if our children's hobbies are the same time as worship service, then we don't need to have them. Because what are we showing our children? That sports is more important than God? Should that ever be the case? No. Number eight, electronical devices. Our phones, our computers, our iPads, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, television. Do some individuals put them number one in their lives? Have you ever seen an individual always on their phone? Number nine. Here's another one. Our family. You mean individuals actually put their family before God? Absolutely. Do you know that I have emphasized to my family that if you have something on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, I'm not going to be there. And they know that. They know where I'm going to be. And if they want to see me at them times, guess what? They can come to Seminole Point. Because that's where I'm going to be if I am able to. Number 10, our friends. Another one that actually pulls us away from God. And while we might not want to emphasize that, it does happen time and time again. Matter of fact, sometimes our friends influence more than, guess what? God. And that's because some individuals end up on drugs, alcohol, gambling, and all these different things. Our friends are not always the best influence. And we need to be careful on who we are being around. We need to be around other people that are striving to live a life like Christ. Now, you also notice here in Colossians chapter 3, there was characteristics that we needed to put on. And it was pretty obvious. And do you not know that Christ needs to be seen living in us? And one of the ways that He can be seen living in us is by making sure that we teach our families. Making for sure that we teach our friends. And showing them how important Christ truly is. Do you love your friends? Do you love your family? If you do, you're going to prove it by action and teach them the Word of God, if you are able. Another thing that I would like to note here is that we do not need to hinder other individuals. If you have your Bibles, please take them and turn them to Romans chapter 14. We're going to look here at verse 13. Romans chapter 14 and verse 13. And the Word of God reads, "Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Do we not really need to watch what we're doing? Let's look at one more example of this. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to look here at verse 32. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. And the Word of God reads, though they knew God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. I want you to think about this. I was given the opportunity of opening up an ATM business here in Oklahoma City. In order to do that, I was going to have to put ATMs in bars, strip clubs, and areas that might have to gamble. You know what? I decided I didn't need to do that. And one of the main reasons I did not need to do that is because I knew that if I did, I could hinder someone else. I do not want, because of something that I have done, to cause another individual to sin. And so I'm going to strive to the best of my ability to not put a business in some area like that. Not in a bar, not in a dispensary, not in a strip club, not anything that would cause an individual not to be able to live a life for Christ. We need to understand that we do not need to be leading individuals in the wrong direction. We're here to lead individuals to Christ. We're here to help individuals to have that close relationship with God and to be able to call Him Abba, Father. I want that relationship. I believe you want that relationship. And I cannot emphasize enough that this evening we can have that relationship if we're willing to transform our minds and live a life for Him. Now, this evening, if you are not a Christian, you are given an opportunity to become a child of God. You are given an opportunity of being an heir with Christ. You are given the opportunity of one day spending eternity in heaven with God. Are we going to take that opportunity? So if you need the prayers of the church, or you need to be baptized, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing?